what Beth said to the Lord. We're so happy to have him again with us tonight, Darren Walter, Bethel Baptist Church, and Spruce Pine. Bless pretty much for the service, for the preaching time.
Love you. Amen. I'm thrilled to be back with you at Fletcher tonight, and I appreciate the good song service. Well, I love Mountaintop Harmony. Thank God for them. Amen. And I love that last song, Praise God. That's my favorite right there. I think they're learning that about me, that's my favorite. Amen. I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate you all being here. Many of you have been here every single night all week long. And I was looking last night, somebody had a red Bible. How many, you have a red Bible. Hold it up. Had a red Bible. Mine's red. A lot of people's not reading the Bible anymore. Amen. How many of y'all had a red Bible? Hey, there they come. Amen. 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 Got you, didn't I? One of our little widow ladies, I called today to check on her, and it went over to her voicemail. She's up in her 80s, and buddy, she is spry. And her voicemail, I'm telling you, it's probably just about full. And her voicemail, she said, she said her name, and she said, if you would leave me a message, I'll get back with you just as soon as I can. And by the way, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Thank God for that. Amen. I hadn't heard it all day long from anybody until a little widow woman had it on her voicemail. Has anybody told you today that Jesus loves you? Have you told anybody Jesus loves you? You know, we've been in this revival all week long and we mention it every night. Jesus loves you, and somehow we're still not telling people. We just assume they know. But I'm telling you, it's our job to tell them that Jesus cares for them and that He loves them. And you may say, Preacher Darren, I'm above that. You tell me something that I didn't know. Honey, I'm telling you, I've not got over the fact that He loves me just yet. And don't burst my bubble. Amen. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 12 is on my heart. Appreciate you having your red Bible with you tonight, and we're going to turn and read it a little bit more. I apologize tonight. I was running just a little bit late getting here tonight. Wasn't necessarily traffic, but I tried to study and study and study to the last minute, and I went too late, and then I got ready. I was putting my shirt on, and I've got a hole in the top of my collar right here because my shirt is worn out. You should have said, Preacher, you shouldn't have told us that. Well, I wouldn't have until I put my tie on, and when I pulled it through the tie knot, the back of the tie come completely, and it's falling apart. And I got in the car and sat down, and lo and behold, in the side of my suit, right there, there's a hole in my suit. I'm having trouble tonight, amen. And I told Brother Nathan, I said, I don't know that it's a holy time, amen, but I'm telling you that I've come to church tonight unprepared. And I think it may represent my walk with Him. And it's on my side, not on His side. There's some holes that need to be repaired in my walk with Him. Can I get a witness? Some of y'all don't believe that about yourself, but Matthew chapter 12, would you stand with me tonight? Matthew chapter 12, I want to read in verse number 9. And when He was departed thence, He went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse Him. And He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, if correctly read. I want to preach on this thought from this text. Jesus cares for the burdens we bear. Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, many of us have come in with a load. We've come in unprepared, unkempt. Lord, we need your touch. We need your help. Lord, I pray for divine assistance. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight, God, to declare the truths of the Word of God. And Father, tonight, I believe it's me that's in the need of help tonight, Father. I've got a hole in my shirt and hole in my trousers, hole in my pants here, and my ties tore up. Lord, I think it may represent me spiritually, Lord. I need your help, God. You're trying to show us what we need to do, and somehow, God, we're just not getting that. Help us tonight, God, to see. Help us, God, to understand and put us in place, Lord. Help us, God, we want to do the will of God. Lord, you called us to that, God. Help us, Lord. Show us, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask your help. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. I believe it might be okay if we turn to Luke's gospel and read a parallel passage. I like to read from the book of Luke. Luke is the beloved physician, and Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man. And oftentimes, Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, he points out things that maybe other gospel writers don't. At least I grasp it that way. And not a contradiction of Scripture, it's just a different viewpoint. We know that Luke was not one of Jesus' disciples of the 12, but we know that he was a follower, a disciple of Apostle Paul. And we know that Paul followed the Lord, and Luke's following the Lord as well. In Luke chapter number 6, and in verse number 6, parallel passage, it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he saith unto the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. They were upset with him, upset with the Master. Why? Well, the previous Sabbath, the Lord, in verses 1 through 5 of this chapter, he was walking through the cornfields with his disciples, and they were hungry, and they pulled some of those ears or some of that grain and began to rub it in their hands and got rid of the chaff, and they ate it. And then the Pharisees saw it and said, "You're doing that which is unlawful to do on the Sabbath days." They were tore out of the frame. You see, the Pharisees totally missed the message of the Sabbath. They totally missed the point of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that on the Sabbath they came up with this thing called the Mishnah? And it gave 39 points about how you could break the Sabbath. And in the Mishnah, each one of the 39 points had 39 sub-points. I won't preach them all tonight. But that's 1,521 separate divisions about how you might break the Sabbath. For instance, you're not allowed to wear a coat because you might take it off. And if you carry it, that's considered carrying or bearing a load. And you've broken the Sabbath. You're not allowed to look in a mirror. You might see a gray hair and be tempted to pluck it out, which is considered reaping. You're not allowed to take a bath. When I was a young boy, I'd have said amen for that. But if water drips on the floor and you get down to dry it up, it's considered labor. It's considered work. You're not allowed to light a fire. You're not allowed to travel more than 3,000 feet, just over a half mile. Or your journey's too far. I'm just telling you, they missed the message of the Sabbath. It is a day of rest. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, Jesus' disciples are traveling with him through this field. And you may say, well, I believe the Sabbath. Let me just say this. Did Jesus rebuke his disciples? No. There's no rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ. All we see is the sour, critical disposition of the Pharisees. Sometimes when we come to church, all we see is the sour, critical disposition of us old church men and us old church ladies looking down on everybody else when we ought to be looking up to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we miss what church going is really all about. One lady said to her husband, did you see what so-and-so was wearing? No, I didn't. Did you see that so-and-so put his arm around so-and-so and hugged him? No, I didn't. Did you see what so-and-so was having a conversation with so-and-so when church was over? He said, no, I didn't. She said, I don't even know why you go to church. You don't get anything out of it. Honey, I'm telling you, a lot of us are going for the wrong reasons. The Bible says in verse 6 that on another Sabbath, I believe it might be the next week, the Bible says he enters into the synagogue and he taught. Number one, the intention of Jesus. What is his intention? He's going to the synagogue. Why? He's going to teach the Word of God. He's going to expound. He's going to encourage. He's going to exalt the Word of God before everyone. He's going to preach. He's there to teach the five books of the law. He's there to teach the prophets. He's there to teach the Psalms. He's there to declare the Word of God. He's also there to reach this man that's in the congregation that has a withered hand. Y'all look at me. He has a withered hand. Y'all looking at me? He comes in the congregation with his hand withered. He had been there every single Sabbath, week in, week out. Everybody's seen him. They're used to seeing him. He's got a withered hand. I came in tonight. In fact, when they got so used to seeing it that they didn't pay it any attention. I came in tonight with a hole in my pants here on the side of my leg. I came with a hole in my shirt. Nobody really paid a whole lot of attention. You ain't got close enough to me yet, but you'll see it probably after a while. I'm telling you, this got used to seeing that man walk in just like that. You've been coming in this church just like that, with this arm up, withered for some time now. And Jesus has come to the synagogue. Jesus, yay, he's come to Fletcher tonight, that he might heal, that he might help, that he might relieve, that he might bring you a remedy to help you tonight. Number two, I want you to see the interrogation of Jesus. We read it in Matthew, where the Pharisees said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? This they did. Verse 7 says that they might find accusation against the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to antagonize. They're trying to accuse. They're trying to attack. They're trying to trap our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They interrogate him. They're inquiring of him. Number three, what is the instruction of Jesus? The Bible says in verse 8 that Jesus knew their thoughts. He knows the intents of our hearts tonight. He said to the man with the withered hand, he said, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And verse 8 says, and he arose and stood forth. Out of that whole congregation, that man knew Jesus was talking to him. He didn't say, Tim, Lord, her, Lord. No, wait. He knew the Lord was talking to him. Have you ever been in a church service and you knew the Lord was talking directly to you? This week, the Lord is trying to tell you He still cares for you. He loves you. And some of us are like, well, I hope he'll preach something else. I already know that. Honey, I don't know with the way we live our lives that we really realize just how much he really loves us. Well, I know he went to Calvary. Honey, he goes before the throne of God 24 hours a day on your behalf and my behalf to make intercession for us. Amen. When Jesus said this, listen what he said to those Pharisees. He said, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall in the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Now the Pharisees are fussing because the disciples have eaten on the Sabbath day and they've reaped that grain. These Pharisees are upset because Jesus has healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And yet, if those Pharisees had one of their sheep that wandered astray and went into a pit, they'd take off their coat that they're not allowed to take off, throw it down, jump down in the mud, in the muck and the mire, they'd lift that sheep up to a place of safety, and they would not consider it work, they would not consider it labor, because the sheep has gotten the ditch and they've made rules and regulations that says that's okay. But you're not allowed to heal a man. It's okay to save a sheep, but you can't save a man. It's okay to spare a sheep, but you can't spare a man. Doesn't it sound familiar? It's okay to abort a baby, but you can't let the spotted owl die. Hey, man! Well, Preacher Darren, have you been watching the news lately? Yes, I have. And there's all kind of talk about trying to find federal land in every state to build clinics so the federal law will still be in agreement to allow those states. I'm telling you, honey, we live in a messed up world. Jesus asked that question. And the Bible says in verse 10, look at it. And looking round about upon them all. In other words, I'm waiting for you to answer. He said, you would save your sheep, but to me, this man is my sheep. You'll have mercy on a sheep, but not mercy on a man. He said, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. And he says, I want you to know that I, as the Master, I, as the Messiah, I, as the Son of God, it is my prerogative to heal, and it's not a sin for me to spare this man's life on the Sabbath day. Amen! It's exactly what he did. You see, as the Pharisees care for their sheep, Jesus will care for his. He's waiting on an answer, and they did not have an answer. They would show no mercy to this man, no mercy to a man of their own people, no mercy to a man of their own congregation. Every Sabbath day, they would see him and go right around him. No mercy on him. And yet they'd have mercy on a sheep. Telling you it's messed up. Number four, we see the invitation of Jesus. Jesus had said in verse 8, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And when that man stood up, nobody stood with him. Nobody. And now Jesus, with these Pharisees accusing him, said to that man, stretch forth thy hand. It's an invitation. Here's an invitation tonight to the peerless. This man came to the synagogue to hear the word of God. This man came to the synagogue to pray and maybe to worship. This man came to the synagogue maybe to be healed. He'd been there every week and nobody cared one thing about him. He was peerless. This man has no friends that are sitting with him and no friends that are standing with him. Also, it is an invitation to the pitiless. These Pharisees and religious leaders have pity and mercy on a sheep, but no pity and no mercy on a man of their very own congregation. Jesus, moved with sovereign love, said, stretch forth thy hand. An invitation to the peerless. An invitation to the pitiless. It's an invitation to the powerless. Luke mentions in verse 6, look at it. The Bible says, Luke writing, there is a man whose right hand was withered. It was not his left, it was his right. Dr. Luke points that out. That is very significant. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 29, the priest was to be anointed with blood on the tip of his right ear. He was to be anointed with blood on his right thumb. He was to be anointed with blood on the big toe of his right foot. The right, the right, the right. Not the left. God made a division. God made a separation between the left and the right. The right is your spiritual side. The left is your flesh side. There is a division tonight within you. You are saved. Three people are saved. We're going to have a time tonight. Are you saved? But you also have a flesh. You have a flesh that you battle with every day, but your soul has been redeemed. Your soul has been saved. Your right side. May I just point out tonight, just in case you're wondering, I wonder if Preacher Darren's left or right-handed. Well, I'm kind of both. But it's really weird. I'm left-handed when I write. But the good news is that the right side of my mind controls the left side of my body. Therefore, I'm one of the few here that's right-minded. Hey, man. So, let me say this tonight about being right-handed. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, a leper, which represents sin, when a leper is cleansed, you know what they do to the leper when he's cleansed to signify he's got cleansing? They anoint him with blood on his right ear, on his right thumb, and on his big toe of his right foot. And then they come back and they put oil on his right ear and on his right thumb and on his toe on his right foot. May I just say, it's important to know tonight, if you're saved, you've got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ before you get the oil of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Are we clear? The left side is the flesh. The right side is the spiritual side. Mark's gospel, we won't take time to read it, but his word for withered is the word sarino. It means that this man's hand has become withered. Your Bible in Luke chapter 6, verse 6, end of the verse. Look at it. Look at it. The Bible says withered, past tense. He was not born that way. Something happened in his life to cause his right hand to become withered. I don't know what it was, but it was something. And I want to say to you tonight, the Holy Ghost sent me down here to tell you as a church, as an individual, He knows your life, your walk, your testimony. And when you was born again, are you saved? You are not born again withered. You are a brand new creation. But something has happened in your life to cause your right hand, your right side, to be crippled, paralyzed, and withered. Withered because it means that it's withdrawn from the blood supply. What was it that hurt you? Who was it that hurt you? Why is it that you used to sing in the choir and praise His name, but you can't do it anymore? In fact, you used to sing as a congregation and lift your voice, but you can't do it anymore. It is amazing how many people would just walk in here to church tonight, and just walk right in and act like we have no real problem, when the truth is there's some bitterness, there's some hurt, there's some doubt, there's some issue that is hindering your testimony and your witness and the power you once had with God. You used to be so useful. When you used to pray, hell went on red alert. But now, something has happened. Some prayer request unanswered. Some disappointment in life. Some setback, some issue has rendered you useless. Yes, I am preaching to you. Jesus said to that man, rise up and stand forth. He knew that man's issue. He used to be useful. Now he's become useless. May I say, with his right hand, for whatever reason, he used to be able to go out and shake right hands of fellowship. That's how we shake around here. But something happened. Well, preacher, then it's COVID. Wasn't COVID that caused to hinder his fellowship with the local church. It's amazing how you went to Ingles the other day and you saw so-and-so and you darted the other way and act like you didn't sin. But you come in here and act like you're in perfect fellowship. There's a problem. It's hindering your teaching. It's hindering you singing. It's hindering your praise. It's going to hinder you in this meeting. And you may not want to deal with it, but tonight, honey, God has sent me to tell you, Jesus is interested in healing your withered problem. That withered came because there's a separation from the head. Jesus is the head. Amen. You can't shake hands. You can't used to. You would praise God. But now, well, you can kind of wing it left-handed every now and then. Throw up your hand so nobody calls you off the scent. But I'm telling you, you used to put both hands up and praise the Lord. Let me just talk for a second. When Peter and John went beside the gate, beautiful in the book of Acts, there was a man laying there begging for alms. They said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you know what they did? They put out their right hand. Look it up. Their right hand joined his right hand and lifted him. And immediately his ankle bones received strength and he went off through the house of God leaping and praising God because God has brought healing into his life. What's hindering your fellowship? What's hindering your praise? Used to, I'm telling you, man, you'd give to the work here. Look how I used my right hand to get back to my wallet. He says, Preacher Darren, I've got a pocketbook. I don't have to worry about it. Preacher Darren, I put mine on the other side. I'm okay. Now, I'm talking about you used to be willing to give to the work, but something, they voted on something, you didn't like it. In fact, you come every Sunday sitting here thinking, I can't wait till this church goes under. I'm going to tell every single one of them, I told you it was too much money. I told you we could never pay it off. Honey, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ paid a debt I did not owe. Amen. And he paid in full. And honey, he pays his debts. And he'll see to it that this church has victory over any debt you've got. And he'll bless you even further. And if you think you're going to hold out your cirrhosis of the giver, God's going to do it without you. And you're going to have the disappointment of watching what my God's going to do. And you won't get to enjoy the blessing or reap any of the rewards at all. You just go ahead and sit there with your sour, critical, poor disposition. But honey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He can do the impossible. He's interested in healing those that are sick. He's interested in sin and revival. You may say, Preacher Darren, we're too far gone. There's no way revival will come. How do you just hold on to that thought? Because I'm telling you, Jesus can. He's well able. And I'm looking for him to do it tonight. Amen. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to be working with our own hands. In fact, I thought about this. Carry my Bible, usually. See what hand I got it in? Some of you has quit carrying your sword. Hey, man. Well, let me just do the best I can. I'm not going to read tonight. I'm too tired. Some of you had to say, honey, have you seen my Bible? Well, honey, you put it down last Sunday when we got home to church. You hadn't seen it in a week? I noticed tonight when we opened our Bible, some of y'all went, he gave an invitation to the powerless. Do you get my drift? He gave an invitation to the painless. Now I want this man's hand that's withered, when whatever accident, whatever hurt, whatever bitterness, whatever cut off the blood supply to that hand, initially it hurt and it hurt really bad. He wept and wept over it. But after a few weeks, months, and years, it's become numb. Just because it's numb doesn't mean it's fixed. It means you have no feeling. That's our problem in our churches. We don't have any feeling anymore when the invitation is given. We have no feeling anymore when we talk about the cross of Calvary. We have no feeling when we say Jesus loves you. There's no feeling. It's a problem. I don't get real personal. Point to my neck. I had a tumor come up on my neck. I had to go to the doctor, and they said it is a fatty tumor, not cancerous. Thank the Lord. And they said, we're going to have that removed. And they cut that open and put it and got the tumor out, sewed me back together. And I didn't know it was going to happen. They did it right there. I drove home, and my hand was completely numb. I thought it was because of the medications they gave me and the shots and everything. And the next morning, I got to get up here where you can see me. And the next morning when I got up, my left hand was just fine, but my right arm still wouldn't move. I was supposed to preach Wednesday night, and I did, but I couldn't type my notes. I had to get my wife to help type my notes. You may say, preacher, it's just an excuse, but she'll tell you for months on end, I was in terrible shape. I went to doctors. They did nerve conduction tests. They put pins and needles all in me and wired them all together. Man, my arm was jumping up and down, and sweat broke out all over my body, and I couldn't feel one single solitary thing. It was my right hand. I would try to shake hands with people as they came out the door. And honest, my people would tell you, I'd stay like that. You know, I couldn't do anything. And then after it was over, I would hurt up here so bad because it cut out all these muscles. And my shoulder blade would even stick up while I was trying to preach. And man, it was all I could do to get through it. I didn't miss one time in the pulpit. But I would go sometimes to the fellowship hall and sit down and weep and cry because I was so messed up. It took me months to get back. And God sent me to doctors and to going to training and therapy and all these things. And He brought it back 100%, and I thank God for it. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. For a long time there, and I lost feeling. I was completely numb. When it started coming back at the tips of my fingers and started working on my arm. I want to say tonight you're numb with some things going on in your life. You're numb to the preaching of the Word of God. You're numb. It's not that you're insensitive. You're numb. You have no feeling, and it's because so-and-so said that. And it's because such-and-such happened. It's because you've become bitter, and you've become unfaithful, and you've become unfocused. What God wants to do, and now you've become painless. This man has got pain in his life, and let me just say this. What Jesus said is priceless. He gave an invitation that's priceless. He said to that man, rise up. I'm going to give you an invitation in a minute. I'm going to say, rise up. Stand forth. And he says, stretch forth thy hand. This man did not say, Lord, I'll stretch forth my left hand because I can't stretch forth my right. By faith, he knew the Lord was talking to him. And he stretched forth his hand. And when he did, it was made whole just like the other. I want to tell you something. The only way a withered hand can be made whole is that a fresh blood supply has to be put in. It's a matter of the blood. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the life that we have spiritually in Jesus Christ is in the blood. There is not one thing in your life tonight that Jesus cannot fix. Not one thing. He'll give you your testimony. He'll give you your witness. He'll give you your prayer life. He'll give you your singing ability, your praising ability, your power with God will be restored. Now here's the problem. I knew that'd be one. You're here amongst all these people and you're worried. If you come to the altar, they're going to think that I've got a withered hand and something in my life. Is this what they're going to think? To be honest with you, every single one of us should hear this message tonight and say, there are issues in my life that have crippled me, handicapped me, and have withered me in my life, and I am not what I need to be. When I came in tonight, I prayed, God, would you help me to leave Fletcher First Baptist Church different than I was when I came in? Lord, I'm the one preaching, but Lord, would you come by and would you heal my crippled hand? Would you heal my withered hand? Would you give me a fresh dose, a fresh supply of your blood? God, would you bring healing in my life that I might be sensitive to what you're trying to do? God, teach me, train me, but tonight, God, help me. I've got holes in my trousers on the right side. I've got a hole in my shirt. It's on the right side. That's no accident. You may say, preacher, you planned that. Honey, I did not plan it. That's no accident. And tonight God knows just exactly what you need. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, He wants to fix it tonight and send you out of here rejoicing. And tomorrow night you're going to come back getting in that choir, bringing in the sheaves. Be rejoicing. You don't come back Friday night. It's going to be, nobody will be here. I'll be worried. Honey, it's the end of the week. It's going to whitetap. You better get ready. But the only way you're going to enjoy it is to say, Lord, I have deficiencies. I need your help. I'm talking to you that's online. I sit here, God said, somebody's watching you online tonight. And they've got a withered hand. They're out of church. Not faithful like they used to be. Man, look at me real quick. I want you to know tonight we miss you in the house of God. And Jesus loves you, and we love you. We long to see you back in the choir. We long to see you back in the pew. We can't wait to shake your hand. We can't wait. While we are looking for you, we love you. You stand to your feet. I'm asking somebody to come play. I just want to tell you tonight, Jesus cares for the burden you bear. You may come in here, listen, look at me, look at me. You may come in here and say, nobody knows about the hole in your suit till you told us. Nobody knows about this withering in my hand. Honey, God's already spoke to you. He's already showed you what He wants to do in your life if you'll just let Him. If you'll just be willing to say, Lord, here's my withered hand. I want to exchange my weakness. I want to exchange my brokenness for your power and your authority. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight as He deals with your heart? Would you come? Would you be honest with God? Please, please, please. Oh, we need workers. We need people that have the ability to pray and seek God's face and get a hold of heaven. God is speaking to you tonight. Would you come? Would you come tonight? Stretch forth your hands and say, God, I have this need. Would you take it, Lord? Would you bring healing, Lord? Yes, keep coming. That's right. Mine and I say, God, I'm a candidate. You found me out, Lord. I want your help. Lord, I need your touch. Oh, as we pause, if you're at home, you ought to bow on your knee right now and say, oh, God, would you forgive me? Oh, God, would you help me tonight? Father, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we give you praise. We thank you tonight, God, for your goodness to us. Lord, we're undeserving of the least of thy tender mercies. But tonight, God, you see us as we are. You've looked round about at the whole situation. And God, we have no answer. We pity things and have mercy on things that we should not. Lord, tonight have mercy on when we ought to be having mercy on our fellow man, mercy on our fellow congregants, mercy on our brother and sister. And tonight, God, you're speaking to our hearts, God. Lord, you've laid your finger right upon my issue tonight. You pointed your finger at me and said, this is a problem. You're withered. You're withdrawn. You're weak. And it's because of this. And God, I pray tonight, Father, you'd forgive me. God, I pray tonight, you'd restore. God, I pray tonight, Jesus, oh God, would you put in a fresh blood supply? Would you take the blood of Jesus and sprinkle it upon my needs? God, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. God, tonight I need your help, Lord. I want to go home new. I want to go home repaired. I want to go home refreshed. I want to go home with a fresh
breath of Jesus breathing on my life, and my hand, my withered hand, has been cured, and I've been made whole, that I might praise you, that I might take the word and study and read, that I might give, that I might work, that I might serve, that I might fellowship with my brother and sister, and most importantly, fellowship with you, Lord. God, would you help me tonight, God? It's a miracle, Lord. And yes, I know there's going to be people mad. There's going to be, the world's going to be upset. The devil's going to be mad. Lord, I don't care about the devil. I don't care what the world has to say. Lord, I want to be pleased with Jesus, and I want Him to be pleased with me. Help me tonight, God, I pray. Please, Lord, touch me. Help me, God, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen.